Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News and the Rolling Stones. I'm Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN. News today that Charlie Watts had died at the age of 80. He had reported earlier or said earlier he wasn't going to tour with the Rolling Stones. To help us understand all of this, we turn to Greg Kott, the co-host of Sound Opinions and the editorial director of Coda Collections. Greg, how are you?
I'm good, Steve.
This is one of those stories that was maybe not a surprise, but then yet a little bit of a surprise?
Yeah, it was a surprise. I mean, apparently Charlie pulled off the road for this upcoming tour that begins September 26th in St. Louis, a little mini tour that the Stones are doing, their first one since obviously COVID. And, a medical procedure was the reason. So they said, hey, he needs some rest and recuperation. He'll be fine. That was the general gist of the message. And then now we find out that he died with his family around him in a hospital. So we don't have information yet on exact cause of death. But for my mind, it was a surprise, as I didn't realize he was in dire straits, and obviously that's not the case.
Right.
So it's a sad day for Stones fans.
It is a sad day. It's interesting to reflect on him, right? Because he was sort of the backbone of the band and the least flashy of the band members, the one the most stoic, the one not living it, didn't appear anyway, the party lifestyle. You think he would have lived longest.
Yeah, it's amazing. Keith Richards is going to outlive all of us, I'm pretty convinced now. Keith is still here and Charlie's not, there's no way anyone could have predicted that even a month ago. So it's stunning that Charlie left us now. Obviously, the band is reeling as well. Keith Richards basically said, without Charlie, there is no Stones. I don't know if they're going to stick to that, but people talk about Mick and Keith, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, as being the key to the band. But I think equally key was the relationship between Keith Richards and Charlie Watts. Keith and Mick wrote the songs, but Keith and Charlie were really the reason the Stones were such an amazing one-of-a-kind band, that vibe, that sort of sense of swing, that danceability they brought to all those great rock and roll songs.
I was reading an obit where Charlie Watts said that he didn't have a place to live, so he moved in with Keith Richards, and that's where he learned to appreciate rock and roll. Richards introduced him to, or made him appreciate, Elvis Presley, Muddy Waters, of course, as well. But Charlie Watts wasn't inclined to be a rock musician.
He started out as a jazz musician. He was heavily steeped in jazz as a young man, art student. I don't know if you ever met Charlie, but he's a very refined man. Always had that erect posture behind the drum kit. Had the bearing of a jazz drummer, had the grip of a jazz drummer. His touch was very jazz oriented. He was not slamming the drums, right. Swinging the sticks from overhead. It was all in the wrist. It was like Henry Aaron hitting home runs. It's all in the wrist, Charlie would play the drums the same way.
We're talking
was very
to...
much, and then you go with an incredible power, but also an incredible feel for the rhythm. And if you go to a Stone show, you'd always see Keith and Charlie looking at each other. Keith would be looking as much at Charlie as he would at Mick Jagger. He was constantly interacting with Charlie, and the rhythm was very fluid, very agile. They always had a feel for playing the songs in the way a jazz band might, as opposed to a straight-up rock and roll band.
We're talking to Greg Kott here, the longtime music critic, rock critic for the Chicago Tribune, and now with Coda Collections. Greg, you remember when he played the Park West? I saw him at the Park West with his, I called it the big band, but I guess it was a jazz band. That probably had to be 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, he whenever he took a break from the Stones, he would work on his jazz stuff. He did an art book tribute to Charlie Parker, who was his childhood hero, and the music he played was jazz, big band jazz. That's the stuff he grew up on. I always compared him like a drummer like Kenny Clarke, who had this very regal sort of bearing as a jazz drummer. He studied the jazz greats, and E. Wright earlier when you'd said that Keith sort of introduced him to rock and roll. You know, when he sort of made the transition from jazz into R&B, and his whole thing about R&B was that he thought that meant just a slower version of Charlie Parker. He really didn't have a lot of understanding of it, but the relationship between jazz and blues, it's not that they're not that distant. They're cousins, and he understood the blues as a result of his jazz training, and that transitioned very easily to what the Stones were doing, especially early on, which is a blues-based rock band. So he put the role in the rock and roll.
We're talking,
and that was an easy transition for him from that standpoint.
Talking to Greg Kot, remembering Charlie Watts, who passed at the age of 80. Couple of things. Is it fair to call him a homebody? I mean, I read also that he always wanted to be home with his family, and he had a habit of drawing every hotel room he stayed in on the road as a way to just to pass the time until he could be back with his family.
Yeah, he loved his wife. Obviously, they've been married for they would have celebrated their 57th anniversary, surely. And he was very much you know, he did get into some bad habits in the early 70s. There was a brief period there where he was flirting with heroin, but he got off it, and he's, from what I can tell, from what people have told me, he was very clean living person, very polite person. In other words, not your typical Rolling Stone, you know. They respected him, and he was also one of those guys that you just didn't mess with, because Charlie stood up for what he believed in, and the Stones, he made the Stones great, but he never had to bend the rules. He never had to play with the boys in order to be part of that band. He was part of the band, a key part of the band, but he didn't necessarily have to live that lifestyle.
You have had interactions with him, I'm assuming. Tell me about them.
He was a quiet guy. He was extremely articulate. He understood the dynamic of the Stones very well. It was almost like he was an observer in his own band. He made the engine run. As Keith said, he's the engine room. You know, we don't have a band without Charlie, because his sense of rhythm was so unique and so perfect for that band. You know, everybody said, "Oh, he's not perfect as a timekeeper." He would slow down and speed up, but it was all about serving the song. So that his personality was the same way. He was very much of a gentleman, and very much about making you feel comfortable. If you had, you know, lunch with him or tea, he would always make sure that you were taken care of. He was always dressed impeccably when he was off the road. You know, best I can describe as a British gentleman, and you know, very refined taste in many areas, art. You know, and jazz and music. He knew a lot about a lot of things, and he just happened to be a touring rock musician who made a lot of money at the same time.
So given your description of his role in the band, and given Keith Richards' description of his role in the band, do the Rolling Stones continue?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that's the million-dollar question right now. Keith has a friend, Steve Jordan, who's filling in for Charlie, and they had booked these dates a while ago. There's a huge financial penalties if you basically cancel a date at this point when you're booked and the tickets have been sold. So all those shows are sold out. So they're going ahead with this tour, and they were planning on going ahead with it with Charlie on hiatus with the medical procedure, as I described earlier. So it's interesting to say they will do these dates with Steve Jordan, a fill-in drummer. Whether they go beyond that will be the real question. And you know, if I'm thinking... There's financial interest in keeping that big ship afloat, but at the same time, as Keith said, it's never going to be the same band, and I'm not sure that they will continue on that basis. But the money may speak louder than their hearts. I don't know. If I'm Keith, I'm thinking I don't want to continue without Charlie as the Stones. Mick Jagger may have a different opinion of the matter.
Greg Kot, no one knows rock and roll in Chicago better than Greg Kot. Thank you for your insight and perspective today, Greg. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for asking me.
All right, be well. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to make our way into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.